Welcome to Versus Cafe. We just had our PlayStation showcase for 2023. I think we're all pretty excited for some of this news. This is your first host over here, Drew Boopers. Mr. Boopers.
Thank you for ruining my intro.
I know. Jeez. You know, you get to go again. Go again.
No, it's cool. It's too late now.
No one cares. No one cares. It is Angry Agent Seed, by the way.
And Zynel.
All right. Well, oh my goodness. So that was actually, I think, a pretty good showcase with some of the big games that we were looking forward to. Obviously, we were really looking forward to Square Enix's Splatoon.
It looks like a foam bath, technically.
It looks like a bathroom throwdown.
No, okay. Well, okay. That is their Square Enix's new game, Foam Stars, which looks like just a straight rip of Splatoon if they're trying to make all their characters look anime-ish.
They're catering to the weeb audience, which works pretty well for them. With Nier,
they know their Final audience Fantasy. At least
they do know their audience very well.
I mean, I liked the audience for Nier. I liked the bodies for Nier, so that was fun.
Yeah, so
I didn't really follow the game well, but I enjoyed the animations.
Just saying, the story.
He enjoyed the nudes.
So that in bubble baths, that's what they're looking for.
Hey. I'd buy this game.
Yes. Lord Most would get that once they have the what's called 2B DLC with a foam sword.
Foam sword.
Oh, there we go. But yeah, it did. I am ripping on it a little because it's a straight rip of Splatoon, but it looked like it had some potential to be fun. Like, Splatoon is a fun game.
Yeah, I think it's a good re-entry into Square for the game as a service, I guess. We don't know too much about it yet. No. And we only seen some gameplay footage for it. So, and it looks a little rough around the edges, but it's still in development footage. So, we don't really know much yet about
it. I think it just seems so far out of left field, but I wouldn't be surprised if like this was like Sony saying, we need someone to make us a Splatoon. Like,
it could
either a Splatoon or a Call of Duty with that Xbox.
Grab at another franchise, like when they tried the All-Stars, that didn't do great.
You know what? That's true. They're saying, well, we couldn't do Smash, let's do Splatoon.
I gotta remember, was this one supposed to be a VR game or is it just console?
Regular game for it. So not too bad. But I mean, there were a lot of other announcements at the state of play though. I will say though, for a Sony state of play, it's lacked a lot of Sony content.
Right. There's only one Sony thing, right?
Yeah, like I think there was only one or two PlayStation Studio items on there. Like, I just expected a lot more, like maybe something from Santa Monica Studio, something from Sucker Punch, like something from
Well, Santa Monica just blew their load, so we're not going to see anything from them for a while.
And yeah. Sucker Punch, I think, was that Ghost of Tsushima?
Sucker Punch was that Ghost of Tsushima? I don't.
Because if it is, I don't remember. I'm sorry. But if it is, they're working on Ghost of Tsushima 2 right now. And maybe that's why you didn't see anything from them.
Yeah, Ghost of Tsushima, yeah.
But then there's also, what else is,
the only other thing they've made is Infamous.
Yes. Oh, I miss Infamous. That was
a good game.
Yeah.
I have a theory about that. See, I do think, you know, that's been a complaint that, I mean, half the games that were on that roster are also available on Xbox. So it wasn't very heavy on like PlayStation only titles, but.
Was Metal Gear going to
Xbox? Yes, it is.
Oh,
yes.
Interesting.
So, I mean,
it's also one of those things where everyone got out of E3 and everyone's like, well, we actually don't have enough content to do our own thing.
So
exactly. That just makes it all back together.
That's kind of a different method with that. But I was thinking that.
I don't know. There is a Game Awards. There is a Game Awards afterwards, though. But and there's supposed to be good there's supposed to be a lot of exclusives from there, too. So who knows?
I think the fact that E3 did drop and now that's not there. Now all of those smaller game studios, they have to cling on to one of these bigger ones. And I think that's why we saw so many that weren't PlayStation, because they paid PlayStation to showcase their game.
True.
So are you saying you're saying like all these bigger studios are doing their own E3 kind of a thing? Their own model for it?
Not their own E3, but like it's a showcase. So now some of the game studios that maybe would have been in E3, like let's say like Cat Quest game might have just had a small booth somewhere. Instead, they're like, hey, PlayStation, can we like be on your direct? We'll pay you some money even showcase our game.
Well, that's what I mean. Wasn't E3 kind of something similar where they had all these larger companies and then these smaller indie games there? So now I'm wondering, is each of these larger companies, Sony, Microsoft, et cetera, trying to do their own thing like that without actually doing it? So they have all these little smaller indie studios and companies coming in. Like you said, hey, Sony, can we put our game on your roster? Hey, can we showcase here? But we'll pay you for it. The same way everyone had to shell out to E3. Now they're having to shell out to which studios, which console is going
to
do better.
So I'm actually not sure if they actually had to pay Sony for that, to be honest.
I don't think so. You think Sony paid them?
Yes. So. Or it's just part of their marketing agreement for being on the console, because I mean, obviously you have to, like, in order to have a game to be on Sony, obviously, or PlayStation or anything like that, you have to have a contract with them. So it might just be part of the marketing contract. Because I mean, if you look at all the games that were shown, I think a big one, Metal Gear Delta, which is supposed to be on multiple different, it's supposed to be on Xbox as well, but I mean, the collection is going to be on both for it. And also, the nice thing about the collection, it's not just three games. There's more than that.
Yeah, it's five games.
Yes, right? Five games in one. So that's great. But I personally think it's just that Sony was like essentially just trying to fill in time slots, because this is usually around the time where things start getting showing off. Yeah, well,
this is what would have been E3 for them. Mm-hmm. And so they had like nine major announcements. They even had a freaking accessory and like hardware teaser. So I think they probably wanted to fill in this showcase with more and more and more to make it seem a lot bigger than it actually is for what would have been E3's sake, right?
Yeah, I guess I guess I could definitely see that being a possibility.
Speaking of,
are you talking about that pseudo Switch thing Sony?
Project Q.
Project Q.
Project Q. Looks like
it's. I'm sorry. Unless that thing comes out below 200, I think it's gonna. If it's wireless only streaming, it's for sure. It's like I'm waiting for another Vita TV fire sale on it.
Wait. So is it supposed to just broadcast? Like, if you have your console on, it's supposed to do the same thing our phones do already.
Yep. I was gonna say phones already do, and it's gonna be as shitty as that it does. But
yeah, that's all they said. So I'm hoping that maybe they said something wrong. But that is to stream off your PlayStation 5.
So basically, the only thing I can play on that thing is Final Fantasy Pixel Remaster, and not have a bad time. Like, fucking shit show.
Pixel Remaster will still have a hard time, because I had Wild Arms 2 and Legend of Dragoons on my PlayStation 5. I streamed it upstairs to my master bedroom to just stream it, and my network in this house is top notch speed. It still lagged. Streaming locally.
I got my network screwed up when I was playing from my couch to my TV.
Your upload speed and your download speed is close to DSL.
No one needs to know.
Don't tell anyone I live like this.
But yeah, so I really hope that they just misspoke there, because otherwise that will be a Vita part two. It's just going to come and go like the wind, and then...
But I liked
Vita. They're going to ask themselves why
Vita was great. Okay, that was way ahead of its time. Like, I just wish that they would just put that effort into it. But I feel like for Sony right now, I feel like their fight is not with Nintendo. Their fight is with Microsoft.
Yeah.
So from their side, I feel like they're just like, oh, you know what? Let's just focus on Microsoft. Let's just show we have a quote unquote mobile presence on it. And then technically, if Sony wants to sell me just the what's called DualSense controller 50-50 and just dock it in, I'm okay with that as well. But
With Backbone, right? Like,
yeah, Backbone.
Okay, but Backbone is $100 is $100 already.
Okay, this screen is gonna be more than that. So
yeah, and also, what kind of screen is? Is it OLED? Is it running Android? Can I hack it? I mean, can I mod it? Oh, never mind.
Does it have storage? Like,
does it have any storage?
But we'll come back to that modding answer that you brought up. For those of you who don't know, we have been in an argument about modding and hacking consoles for some time now.
I am fine with modding it for my own usages. You want me to mod it for you. You take care
for
of that
my
on
own
yourself.
Usages.
You
for
take my care own that usages. You take care of that on your own.
He
all
just
right?
wants to utilize your services, sir.
I don't provide any of those services.
Yeah. I'm not even asking you to do it for free. I'll pay you.
and with that, those services are 100% not provided. And if any police or lawyers are listening, those services were never provided in this scenario.
Oh my goodness. Oh,
we wholeheartedly follow the terms of service and agreements that we do not read through when we agree to use the consoles.
Oh yeah, the ones that we just blow through. Yeah. Totally.
To continue the game. Like, yeah, I've never read any of them.
Well, hey, so, well, we pooped on that one, but what about the other hardware that they had? Those earbuds, what do you think?
I feel like it's probably going to be overpriced. I do like the way that they open and close, and I feel like that would have been great. The box.
I love that the one thing you love about it is the way the box freaking opens and closes.
I mean, it's pretty nice.
To be fair, Zynel,
as a feature, it opens.
Yeah, we have not had the chance to test this, hear the sound quality, so we can't really speak to that.
No, I know. It's just
to be fair.
I feel like those will work very well for the VR headset, though. Like if they do like
yeah,
the
way
spatial,
better than those wired ones.
Yeah, like if they do the spatial audio, I feel like it could work very well with VR. One thing I am surprised about, though, and they're probably, and this is me speculating, they might be saving it for a future showcase, like maybe a September, October timeframe, just because certain things didn't get an actual date for announcement. But let's call it, I think they might have another showcase to show off the PlayStation 4 or 5 Slim with the external disk drive, which I think that's been rumored around for quite a while already.
Yeah, we've mentioned it in a few episodes by now.
I really want one too.
I need another one. I'm debating if I want another one upstairs.
Yeah, I'm probably never going to buy another one. I've been one of those people that just bought the original one and just kind of coasted with this entire time. I know Siege-wise, like everyone that comes out.
I don't buy everyone that comes out. If there's a collector edition, I may dabble in it just so someone else can't have it.
Yes, exactly.
Oh my goodness.
I think 4 was the first time I bought a second console because the Pro came out.
Mm-hmm. Well, the Pro, I mean, the thing is, if they have a Slim version of it, it's just going to be marketed as a Slim. But there are rumors of a PlayStation 5 Pro as well. And I'm just not even sure what angle that they have for it, unless they really want to go into the Pro version will play 120 frames a second and at full 4K.
I mean,
if I don't have to choose between
fidelity and visuals, then...
I mean, that would be great. I mean, I'm okay with that. But at the same time, how much are you willing to pay an extra $100 for the Pro version?
Well, if I get the Pro version, I'd have to also get a new TV. And I just don't have that kind of.
Oh, this is so true, because it's not going to be worth it for certain TVs.
Yeah.
Except the TV that Boopers has, which has both that he could use for it.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah. I would like it bigger, but.
Everyone wants it bigger.
I walked right into that one.
Yeah, apparently so did she.
Because of how big it is?
Or whoever's on here, it's fine. We everybody can do whatever they want.
Yeah. So Lord Mose, we've been on this for like, I swear, at least over 10 minutes, and you still haven't mentioned Assassin's Creed? What happened?
I mean, we're talking about TVs and, you know, size. I don't know.
Is it the size of your hidden blade? Is that the problem?
Well, it's a hidden blade. It's not the actual blade. You wait till the sword comes out. Wow, I took that too far. Anyway, Assassin's Creed Mirage. Now, I was a little bit against it. The idea of moving back, because for those of you who don't know, Assassin's Creed Mirage is supposed to be a step back into the mechanics of the original Assassin's Creed games.
So like stealthy, right?
Yeah. Huh?
Stealthy, right?
I'm very happy about that. I did not like the direction Origins went.
Well, I mean, there's going to be mixed feelings for it. I'm a hack and slash person. I've never been a stealth person. And that's why, like, when you guys talk about Metal Gear Solid, the only one I played and really enjoyed was Metal Gear Rising. and that was the reaction why I didn't say anything.
I need to kick
the corner.
I need to go kick Lord Mose out of this call right now.
Hello. I've been more of a Leroy Jenkins kind of guy, you know, like going blazing.
Good reference.
That's how I play all the time. And so when I think about how much progress we've made, I've loved the fight scenes. I love the pairing. I love the cinematic that goes along with it. And so when we go out, talk about these newer games, ever since like, I want to say Assassin's Creed Revelations and further, they started to include more fight, like a hack and slash, more cinematics when you parry perfectly. And then when it went into Black Flag had the naval battles that you got to recruit so more people.
Black Flag was great. That Black Flag was
really
great.
Good standalone. But the hack and slash in there kind of took a step further. And then a step further with Syndicate and, you know, like all the ones that are going forward.
See, I think Syndicate was my favorite game.
Syndicate is my favorite. I'm not going to talk about Unity because that was just
Unity was supposed to be a better game. Unity was supposed to be the one where we could all play together. And I think one time with my other buddy, I was able to get on. It was just glitchy the entire time. Like, we only were able to connect one time.
Again, again, Lormos, it's your internet.
Well, apparently theirs too. I don't know. It wasn't just me. And it was all over. Like, there was patches that were brought up for it and just never connected with people.
Until
a year and a half later when the volume of players for that game went down and finally we were able to get some kind of connectivity. But I digress. Anyway, the gameplay got to the point where it was more of a action hack and slash RPG, which I really enjoyed. It had more of like the JRPG elements too, where you had like the level up systems. You had like the ability, you know, trees and things like that, which I really like to enjoy.
Mm-hmm.
And so when Origins came out with more customizations, weapon builds, you know, and just this total new game mechanic, I thought it was really strange at first and it didn't feel right, but I got into it right away. I enjoyed it. It was a step back for the story, though. I feel like the story was much, much better and well-written in the previous series than it was for the newer ones.
I feel like Assassin's Creed kind of like got away from what made it great. And in terms of like, they were trying to chase being a bigger, better game every single release, right? Like, it just got bigger and bigger and bigger.
It got too big. Like,
it's
like
huge. Now, I haven't even played I haven't played Origins and I haven't played Valhalla just because I don't want to commit that much of my life to those games
at 100 hours minimum.
Yeah, exactly. And what made the first ones like great wasn't just the stealth. But what made the first ones wasn't just the stealth. It was more what you were saying. The writing was a lot better back then, I feel like. And in these ones, the most recent ones, like Odyssey had a really good story, but you had to play that mother freaking game for so long to get that great story out. Like,
okay, but visually
is amazing.
Beautiful.
Yeah.
I would hope the visuals were better than how many years ago.
Odyssey broke me from playing Assassin's Creed, though. I never want to play another Assassin's Creed game ever again. But maybe this one. No, but
like even compared to Origins was so dull. It felt Origins gameplay was fun, but the story itself, the visualizations, the environments, it felt like I was playing Assassin's Creed 1 where I couldn't get into it because it felt really repetitive. Whereas Assassin's Creed Odyssey had much more variety and range. And so when they started to add the mythical beasts and everything in there too, I really got into the stride for that. And then they had the Atlantis expansion, you know, which I never played because I had already platinum the game and I don't usually jump back into platinum, but Atlantis was like a whole nother game they added to it. And so, I mean, when it went into Valhalla, I was expecting so much more. And Valhalla was very dull, very monotone, very long. Uh-huh. And I didn't really care for the customizations because I felt like as big as the tree was, like if you guys have played Valhalla, you know, that was a massive, massive
story. I could not. I bought the game. I just could not even like play through it. It just was. I tried.
Yeah. It was so boring.
Mm-hmm. It really was, honestly. And I wasn't expecting that. I was expecting something better. And so now that they're moving back to the mechanics of the old game, I'm hoping the story for the game is the same way. And so that's what I'm kind of looking forward to. I just wish they had something where the story and the hack and slash gameplay, the free range and open world could meet together in that perfect, you know, symbiosis. But I don't think they're going to be able to get that anytime soon, except I have hope. Because while they're also making the Assassin's Creed Mirage game for older generation, they have Assassin's Creed, you know, codename Red, which is supposed to be finally a Japanese Assassin's Creed.
And I hope it's not just Ghost of Tsushima with a nice.
Well, I mean, Ghost of Tsushima opened doors.
Oh, no, it was a great game.
I'll get into it a little bit later, but have you guys noticed that a lot of the newer games, a lot of the RPGs, a lot of the hack and slashes seem to be set like, you know, Asian foreign, you know, kind of games? Wulong, for example, was like another like game that just came out that a lot of people really highly recommended and played. There's one in the showcase, I think it was called Phantom Blade or something. I don't know if you guys saw.
I did. Yeah, that one
was really good too. And again, it's like another Asian foreign kind of setting and gameplay. And I feel like Ghost of Tsushima, if nothing else, really opened the door and showed like, hey, the audiences here in North America and other places around the world do enjoy these types of games. There is a fandom for it. There is a market for it here. And I think Ghost of Tsushima took a chance that just really succeeded. That being said, story writing was phenomenal.
Yeah,
that,
like, and that it's was also
unbelievable.
I mean, it's also Sucker Punch as well. So I mean, that's one thing. Because I mean, if you want to say like there's other like Japanese inspired games, I mean, technically you have Neo. Yeah, you have Neo.
You had Neo, like Tenchu back in Tenchu. PlayStation 2.
Yeah,
but a lot of those games, I don't know, like. Like Team Ninja, for example, did the Ninja Gaiden series.
Oh, those were
really, really fun, games. Really good, but the stories were always lackluster. Mm. The characters were really difficult to beat, but I mean, aside from that, it wasn't much else to it. Ghost of Tsushima, I think, good. In my opinion, has been the first game, a foreign release, Asian release foreign game, that just really brought like an emotional connection. Just this amazing storytelling with visuals, with gameplay. I don't remember
any
faults in it, honestly. I'm sure if you look hard enough, if you're picky enough, you can find something, but I don't remember thinking
different generations
negative in this game.
But it was good. It was a great game. You know, actually... Okay.
But speaking of how things have been changing, how does everyone feel that the Final Fantasy 16 is more of an action-based than turn-based?
I'm okay with that.
What I like about Final Fantasy, or I like a lot of things about Final Fantasy, but one thing that I appreciate about them is, what did the director say with this most recent one?
There is no day one patch?
Oh, come on, that's going to change.
Yeah,
no, well, that's going to be like a day one, day zero, day two. There's going to be like 15 patches before you can actually play it.
And in the most recent interview, they actually said that the game is done. They actually don't expect a day one patch for it. So like that's I found... I mean, it's sad that that's newsworthy, to be honest.
Nice to actually happen because it is newsworthy because so many games need those day one patches.
Like Jedi
last episode,
like Jedi Survivor. Like I think it took like it's been out, I think, like 4 weeks now, and it has like 20 or something patches already put on the system
actually, in order for it to play. One of their patches messed up the trophy list. The platinum is now unattainable.
Wow.
Oh, wow.
Well, so I haven't even started it yet until that gets fixed. Yeah. It's like a loot box or a collectible thing that stops you from being able to get the platinum. It doesn't register them.
So wait, sucks. What he said is, you know, every Final Fantasy that they've done, they've always tried to do something kind of new, and it might not be a Final Fantasy for you. It just, but they always try to do something new. I appreciate that. I appreciate they're trying to stick to a really good story and they're trying to implement something different. It's not going to be the same old, same old. It's not Call of Duty 75. I appreciate that about the Final Fantasies and Square Enix.
I mean, to be fair, like for this one, apparently, like the director told them, or director or producer, I forget who told them to go watch. Told them to go watch Game of Thrones.
Yeah.
Like as like, you guys haven't seen Game of Thrones,
Yes,
because I'm just hoping they stopped it before the final season, and then we're
exactly.
Yeah, then it's a
what
perfect
not
game.
To do. Yeah,
no, but like I liked Final Fantasy. Like you guys didn't like it, I know. Final Fantasy 15, I liked that.
Oh,
I loved it. What are you talking about? We didn't like it.
It wasn't turn based. That's why we brought it up as a negative before.
No, turn-based is just a turn to the nostalgia for us. Like I don't like 13, like starting from like 12, 13, like 12 was just too slow for me back on PlayStation 2 days. That was and that was before Zodiac Age came out. So like that was their first like kind of like closer to action. And then after that 13 came out, I was fine with 13 and then Lightning and then 13-2, Lightning Returns. And then after that 14. And then 15, and then now we're at 16, finally.
But I will say, the stories have been lackluster. I forgot who I was talking about. Well, one of you guys were mentioning that there hasn't been a decent story in a Final Fantasy game since Final Fantasy X.
That wouldn't have been me, because
I mean, I don't think so.
You like 12. You love the story from 12, I thought.
12 with 12.
I liked the gameplay. The story was okay.
And 14 is wonderful.
Oh, 14. Well, that's not MMO, but their story is freaking bomb.
I actually really like 13 as well. I think most people, what they didn't like about it is it was a linear game for the most part. Mm-hmm. But the story, I thought, was very solid.
Linear. The story was pretty solid. What I didn't like about 13 was the gameplay mechanics.
I didn't mind the 13 mechanics. My main issue with, I guess, part of 13-2 is there was just so much more information that you had to know before the story started making sense in 13-2.
13-2 was I think, the best of the entire 13.
It was great.
I like Lightning Returns.
Lightning Returns was good too.
Well, that's your hack and slash version of
it. I enjoyed that one as well. But the 13-2 probably had the best gameplay mechanic feel. Like 13 originally, it was so hard to get money. It was so hard to get trophies. It was so hard to do everything in that game. Pain in the ass.
13 enough. It was a good starting point though.
But that was my starting point. Actually,
for you,
that got me into Final Fantasy with that. And that was my very first Final Fantasy game, Final Fantasy 13. I remember, I didn't have the consoles you guys did, you know.
Consoles?
Or whatever you played on, I don't know. For Final Fantasy 13, I remember too, I got it on Xbox 360 because that's all I could afford at the time. And it came with like 3 discs or something. It was massive. I remember playing it. Until this day, I have no idea what the story was about. For Final Fantasy 13, for 13-2, for Lightning Returns, I have no idea what happened in the story. Well, I just remember enjoying the gameplay for 13 dash.
And this is the reason why Lord Most doesn't read anything.
That was too much talking. I'm not going to read that shit.
That's what I say. You like to skip those scenes though, but that's why.
The story happens in the cutscenes. Yeah.
Yeah. But I'm totally looking forward to 16. This is.
I cannot.
It looks so epic.
Play. Yeah.
I want to hear more of the soundtrack, but I haven't been playing it. Like even in the trailers, it's been like hidden.
It's been like dull. It's been like dull music. It's like suspense.
Because I know that the composer is like does really good stuff.
Yeah, I think read somewhere 14. There's a demo coming out or out for Final Fantasy 16.
It's going to be out like a few weeks before the release date. So
it's already out. Yeah, the release date.
It's in a few weeks. No. It comes out, isn't it?
It comes out on the 22nd. So we've got
less than four weeks. So
maybe in 2 weeks.
Like we'll 3 weeks. It. Yeah, okay. Yeah.
I don't know. There is a 16 launch event, which the tickets I think sold out in like 10 minutes.
Dude, not even 10 minutes. It was less than 10 minutes. I was gonna get one as a backup to our problem, but
yeah, it's fine. It's fine. Not much we could do about it. We'll see. We'll see.
All right. But you know what? Lord Most mentioned it earlier, and I kind of forgot that we even talked about Metal Gear. I'm so excited for that game.
Yes.
Especially the remake that they have going on. Okay, here.
I'm worried.
What?
I am.
Is because
I'll go into that in a sec. I gotta get this off my chest. I've never played Metal Gear Solid 3.
Oh, okay. What?
That's I hear
that's like the best in the series. Yeah.
Everybody says it's the best.
The Phantom one?
No, that's the Phantom Pain. No. Get out of here.
No,
I never played any of them, dude.
We have to drop Lord Most again from this call.
Yeah, we have to. Oh my gosh. Yeah, yeah, no. Metal Gear Solid is one of the. It's just
Ryzen was great. I don't know what you guys are talking about, dude. Ryzen, whatever his name was.
If you can't remember the main protagonist's name, like
it was PlayStation 3. It was a great game.
I don't remember anything about it.
I mean, I enjoyed
it.
Get
out. I'm more worried because they say that they're going to keep Metal Gear Solid the original and it's. Current state that it was in when you played it, and I don't know if you guys have ever gone back and tried to play Metal Gear Solid.
Oh yeah, that first one.
It's a freaking train wreck.
Why did I never bring back Twin Snakes? Like that is that was the better version of it, the GameCube version. And
I hope that they do. That's the one they end up using because if you ever go back and try to play the
one,
if you ever go try back and try to play that game, it was playable on PlayStation 1 because we were used to that kind of shit.
Yes.
We are not used to that kind of shit now. It is so much harder of a game.
We just don't take that kind of shit anymore.
That's no, exactly. So I'm really hoping they don't just re-release it because it says they're re-releasing in the Master's Collection 1, 2, and 3 as you played them originally. So I'm like, so we're not going to have a good time is what you're saying.
But it's supposed to be the HD remaster version of it. So we'll see.
It better be if it is the HD remaster than it's going to be.
We'll see, but
because one has the best story,
yes,
technically, but it has the worst gameplay.
To be fair, though, Metal Gear 3 is Metal Gear 1.
It's right before Metal Gear 1.
Because it's the boss.
Yeah.
And that's why I've always heard it's the best one. I've never played
it. Oh, it's great.
That's the first one I played. That was the first one I played. So like it was when the song started going in that one, I was like,
I know the song. It's an epic song. They went hard. Mm-hmm. They were like, James Bond, yes, please.
Mm-hmm. It's great. Like I cannot wait for it. Like I'm just wondering who's gonna be voicing him. And
didn't they fire him?
Kiefer Seven?
Sutherland was the one that did the five.
Five, okay.
But they fired the original one because he was talking too much crap.
Oh,
well, like that he could never be replaced, and they were like, "Oh, bet," and they replaced him.
I don't know. Like, part of me is more worried that Hideo Kojima is not directing it right there because that was his big thing, that was his baby.
Yeah,
on Fox Engine too. So I mean,
I forgot about that. You're right. So the I would say that
without the original direction or director, it's going to be shitty. But honestly, we said the same thing about God of War Ragnarok, because they switched directors from God of War and to the new one. And it was.
Did they really? I didn't even know that.
Yeah, they switched directors. It was amazing.
Oh, yeah. It's still just as good.
It is. But, you know, Kojima is genius, so it's kind of hard to replace him.
Mm-hmm.
So, but you know what? Hey, if they just like try to redo it game for game, just so much sexier, then perfect.
I'm kind of glad they got rid of the original director, because that let him off the hook to do other things. I feel like if
Death Stranding.
I like Death Stranding.
I feel like that's what everyone says, and it's like, no, I'm free to do other things, but like the reality is, no, I'm stuck at home. I have nothing else to do. You know, I'm bored out of my mind. Like, who the hell is going to say that to you?
I want him to make other games. I want him to make different games. Like, I don't want him to just keep doing Metal Gear.
Because you're kind of pigeonholed into that genre. Like,
and then you start making shit games. I mean, because we can all say that Metal Gear 4 and 5 were good games, but they aren't as great as Metal Gear 1, 2, and 3, I don't think.
Mm-hmm. Yes, but at the same time, Kojima was, when he was let go, he was trying to work on that Silent Hill game, which was... awesome.
I would have liked
PT that. Would have been so no, it would have been great if he was there. They were letting him explore other options until all that drama happened.
Yeah.
So no, it would have been great.
But I'm excited for what he's doing now. So
I am too.
Yeah, and then I'm surprised that Death Stranding 2 didn't make out a showcase, but maybe in the Game Awards. I feel like that's more of a Game Awards thing.
Well, I'm really hoping that this is Konami's last ditch effort at being an actual studio. Because I'm really hoping that either this sinks them or something, so that someone else buys them. So
I mean, they have
Kojima games. Studio buys them.
Yeah, exactly.
It's a redemption arc.
Like, I would be fine with someone else buying them and like taking their properties and actually doing something with them. Because
Konami
is so full of crap.
They have, I mean, they have a bunch of games, Castlevania, that they're not even exploring. I mean, at least they brought back Silent Hills.
Castlevania, I remember that game.
Well, yeah, and then of course the anime was like brilliant on Netflix.
Oh, so good.
That did really well too, yeah.
You know, actually speaking of Netflix, you guys noticed that one of the slots in the PlayStation like show was Gran Turismo the movie?
Yes, I totally
missed that.
What was up with that?
How can you even make a movie out of a driving game? Like, there's no story.
I mean, how they make a movie out of Super Mario?
There's a story there.
Yeah, there's
a character.
There's probably a story about Gran Turismo. It's probably
going to be Fast and Furious 11.
The Fast and Furious.
No, they based it off like apparently like a real life story where like a kid that was playing like Gran Turismo and then actually became a professional driver.
Hopefully, it's Jason Statham, Frankie Muniz, or something.
this isn't Malcolm the Middle.
I mean, but isn't that what happened? You didn't play that in the game and the show, like PlayStation, whatever it was, and then became a NASCAR driver?
That's true. That's true. All right, well, heck, that's what we were excited about, everybody. Let us know what you're excited of. Give us the holler on our socials. This is Mr. Booper.
This is Lord Moose _.
This is Angry Agent Steve.
This is Diamond
Video.